This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, back in the sports bar. Danger of a tag leg. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Going to talk some more Buffalo Bills with the host of the Locked On Bills podcast. Also, read his work at thedraftnetwork.com. Joe Marino joining us in the sports bar. Joe, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's fun to talk about a 6-2 team, but I mean, do style points matter, Joe? Because it seems like, or is this just the age we live in where everybody is going to be hypercritical even after a win?
It's tough to really understand that component of this analysis and this conversation. I mean, the Bills are 6-2, as we all know, the best start since 1993. But at the same time, it feels like the conversation isn't about how the team was 2-6 at this point last year, how they've already matched their 2018 win total in 8 games so far in 2019. It's about whether or not this team is deserving of its record, whether or not they're actually a good team, and less about the results that I thought mattered most.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird one to figure out, but then you kind of look a little bit closer and you see that the Bills are beating teams that really don't have potent offenses, and I guess maybe it will take beating one of those teams, a team with, like, say, a team like a Dallas or a New England that has maybe a little bit more potent offense than what Washington or Miami is throwing out there on a week-to-week basis. Joe, what do you say?
Well, I think that's a good point. And when you think about this schedule, it's been very favorable for the Bills. And actually, I think it's favorable again for the next 3 weeks with Cleveland, Denver, and Miami all in the mix. And then it's really this stretch of games where I think we're going to find out some things about the Bills. Well, it's a Dallas game on Thursday night or Thursday afternoon in Dallas on Thanksgiving, Baltimore, New England, and Pittsburgh. You know, that's going to be that stretch of games where the Bills will really kind of define their if you ask me, and really prove themselves as a worthy team if they can steal a couple of games in that stretch. And I guess the good thing about the Bills not necessarily having played well, played well consistently throughout every game at this point is that they haven't played their best game. They haven't hit their stride. And if that were to happen, it's setting up nicely for the timing component of that because they're 6-2, despite not necessarily playing complete on either side of the game, offense or defense. So, three more games to really fine-tune things and ideally hit your stride when the competition heats up and see what happens if you can make it to the postseason.
Joe, let's talk about the defense, specifically the run defense. After giving up 218 yards to Philadelphia, there were the Buffalo Bills giving up over 100 to Adrian Peterson in the first half. Second half, what was it, 7-8 yards? Yeah. Big difference. What adjustment did Buffalo make?
Well, I think, you know, I was watching the game yesterday, and I think we were all kind of saying, here we go again when it comes to that first half run defense. And I felt differently about it than the Eagles game, where I thought the Bills were just moved off the line of scrimmage, and it was a situation where a superior offensive line just took over a football game, and the Bills couldn't defend. And I thought the Washington game early on, some of the plays they gave up were more alignment issues. Thought there was some formations that Washington lined up in that created some extra gaps on either side of the line of scrimmage or either side of the center, and it got the Bills out of their fits a little bit. So I thought it was more alignment issues early in that game. I thought that was the shift that happened at halftime, and you saw, obviously, the results very different in terms of run defense in the first and second half. And I think it's something the Bills are going to have to be mindful of, whether it's alignment or just get blown off the ball. Either way, that's a concern. But I think it was good to see them discover what the issue was against Washington, turn the corner, and you know, a good running back in Nick Chubb awaits them this week. So the challenges don't stop.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, I was going to mention that Cleveland is one of those less than average offenses that the Bills will be facing here on the remainder of their schedule, but they do have a very good run game in Nick Chubb and the return of Kareem Hunt as well. Hey, you watch a lot of film. You break down a lot of different film from around the NFL. What does Cleveland's run game do so well that could be cause for concern for Buffalo here coming up on Sunday?
Well, you know, part of the reason they're so successful running the football is because they do have good spacing. Whether or not Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. are on the same page or not, it is a lot to account for. And you have to be mindful of how potent those playmakers are. And so they can really do some things to stress the field and force you out of being in favorable boxes to stop the run. And that creates a lot of opportunity for Nick Chubb, who's a really talented runner that runs square and sees the field cleanly and has a lot of burst and physicality to his style. And while the offensive line is something that I think everyone points to for Cleveland and says that's a big issue, the one thing those guys probably can do is run block. Pass blocking seems to be the bigger challenge for them. And so you have a really talented running back, good spacing on offense, and a physical offensive line that can move bodies, and you're going to be a good run team.
Yeah, a lot of people were piling on Lotulelei last week, Joe, and part of that was Joe Buscaglia going against him, and then he circled around and said, no, I had it wrong. But I guess my question is going to be about Edmonds. The middle linebacker, second-year player, should we be expecting more at this point out of Tremaine Edmonds?
I mean, I think people should be satisfied with the play of Tremaine Edmonds. I think he's been a big reason why the Bills have been a really good defense this year. I do think, specifically some of the plays yesterday, it was, I think when you start creating extra gaps and when everyone's in a one-gap system and people aren't are correctly defending their gaps because they're not aligned properly, that's really going to throw off your middle linebacker. And the same thing with Eagles game. Those guys were getting moved off the ball and creating levels to the run defense that are not normal for a middle linebacker or any linebacker to navigate through. So I think, you know, Tremaine Edmonds is going to be an effective player. He is an effective player, but it's going to be challenging for him to be effective when you're not lined up correctly and you're not maintaining your run fits. And I think the last two games were issues of those things happening, where the previous five games before that or six games before that, you know, I think everyone was saying that Tremaine was a budding star. He's doing really good things in space and especially in coverage and those types of things. So I'm encouraged by the play of Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, good Lord, he's 21 years old and has started a season and a half in the NFL. His ceiling's through the roof, and I think he'll only continue to get better.
He's Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. You can also read Joe's work at thedraftnetwork.com. Joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Yesterday, we saw Trey White shadowing McLaurin, something that, you know, we don't see Trey do often, go from one side of the field to the other. Do we expect the same out of the Bills' defense against Odell Beckham Jr.? Are we going to see Trey on Cleveland's number one weapon?
Well, I think the way that teams are going after Levi Wallace, the last thing you want to do is give Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. any confidence that connection can start working. And so if I'm Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, I'm going to continue to have Trey White do that, and I'll take my chances with Jarvis Landry on Levi Wallace. And while Landry's a very physical player, he's not necessarily the most athletic, and I think that's a better matchup for Levi Wallace. So unless you want to give Baker Mayfield some wide-eyed looks with potentially Odell Beckham running past Levi Wallace or really just being too quick for him to handle, I'm going to make sure that I put Trey White on him and not let that start to become an issue on Sunday.
Joe Marino from the Locked On Bills podcast. You can also read his work on the Draft Network, our guest here. Let's talk about Devin Singletary. There it was, the Singletary game here. Joe, what did you see out of Devin Singletary? And he should get the lion's share, I would think, moving forward in the backfield, no?
Yeah, a lot of people were screaming for this, and they got it in this game. And, you know, I think the easy question to ask is, why hasn't this been a thing for longer? Why did it take to this point to do it? And I feel like there's some things that are lost in the conversation. First of all, you know, he got injured in week two, and he was a pretty big part of the offense in both weeks one and week two for a player that's still, you know, a rookie, a third round pick coming out of Conference USA. And I thought he had a big acclimation ahead of him. And with coming from Conference USA, running primarily a horizontal track outside zone type rushing attack at Florida Atlantic, and obviously, the caliber of defenses in Conference USA compared to the NFL was a big jump. And, you know, Singletary, for as exciting of a player as he is and how he has really good vision and contact balance and elusiveness and wiggle, he's not very explosive. He's not a very shifty guy or in terms of quickness. He doesn't have great breakaway speed. And so you have to think there's a big jump in terms of the things that made him successful at Conference USA compared to what it was going to take to be successful against NFL defenses. I think it was going to take some time. And so I'm very encouraged by the way he played yesterday. Obviously, what, 140 yards from scrimmage, almost 100 yards rushing, the big play with the screen play. You really kind of saw the full skill set on display of what he can do and what he can mean for the offense, and hopefully it's something that continues to evolve. But I definitely understand the side of things where it probably took to this point for him to get comfortable and ready to really take over as the lead guy, and certainly proved that he can do that on Sunday, and ideally that'll be a launch point for him the rest of the way.
Joe, a lot of fans could be critical of the Buffalo Bills for sitting on their hands and not being active at the trade deadline, but you can't be critical of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott for believing steadfastly so that they're building this in the way they want to build it. And you talk about the play at the wide receiver position, the contributions you've gotten from both Cole Beasley and John Brown, who've been consistent. The idea that you could add another piece, since you didn't do it at the trade deadline, but add another piece here upcoming in the draft. Hey, listen, you're at the Draft Network, and I'm sure you've already looked into the crystal ball and thought to yourself, all right, who potentially could be in a Buffalo Bills uniform in 2020 that could make this offense that has been pedestrian at times somewhat explosive in coming years?
Well, one comment on Brandon Bean's decision to not bring anyone in at the trade deadline, particularly on the offensive side of the football, is I think about a comment that Cole Beasley made yesterday when he was asked after the game about the offense, and he said, look, it's just time on task. We've got a lot of guys, new guys that haven't worked together before, and we need time to gel and get things down. And you think about this, I mean, Deion Dawkins and Josh Allen are literally the only two holdovers from last year in this offense. I mean, maybe a couple of backup linemen and some depth receivers, but for the most part, everything is new on this offense. It's a time on task thing. I think that's why we're seeing the offense – certain points in the game really kind of flutter and not be as productive as they can, and why they're not always the most consistent scoring points like we expect them to be. And a young quarterback in Josh Allen in year two, coming from Wyoming, a raw quarterback. And so there's a lot of ingredients in place here that should make people understand why everything's not perfect all the time when it comes to the Bills offense. Now, you mentioned the draft. The Bills are in good shape with the draft because it's loaded with quality wide receiver prospects that could really help this offense. Two that really come to mind that I think could be reasonable options for the Bills because they're likely picking somewhere in the 20s. You have Henry Ruggs from Alabama, who is just unbelievably explosive. He's going to run 4.2 at the combine, and he's not just a fast guy. He's a guy with good route running skills and ball skills, and he can play through contact. And, he's just a totally electric playmaker, but don't just label him a fast guy. He's got a pretty polished all-around game. And then T. Higgins from Clemson, wide receiver. Taller guy with good ball skills, a guy that I think could really give Josh Allen the type of weapon that he could trust in to go at cornerbacks and win 1v1 and try some leverage throws and just be the type of guy where the game just slows down for him at the catch point. So I think that those would be the two types of players there that I can envision the Bills targeting if they were to do that in the first round. But, come draft time, I'm sure we'll have plenty of day two, day three options that can help the team as well, because this is a really deep wide receiver class.
I was just going to ask you about that, because to me, Joe, it was shocking the Bills didn't go not even in the last pick with a wide receiver last year. So you just said it right at the end that this year compared to last year, the Bills could find some value in the mid rounds.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We update our big boards every month. I just put on my updated board last week, and it's flooded with wide receivers, guys that are in my top 50, top 100 prospects. So there's going to be no shortage of options to really add to the mix. And I think the challenge from that point comes getting on the same page with Josh Allen and having chemistry, because I think outside of Beasley and Brown, there's not a whole lot of belief that Allen has established that with the other targets. And there needs to be more guys that he trusts and more guys that he's on the same page with so that this offense can be more aggressive in terms of attacking secondaries and trusting that you have the weapons and skill sets needed to make Josh Allen right.
Is the lack of production at the tight end position a little bit of a concern? We've seen flashes throughout the course of the season from Knox, and you know, I think Croft is, you know, you mentioned the lack of chemistry. I mean, he's just getting his feet wet with this offense and making his appearance here over the course of the last couple of weeks. But that seems like a deficiency in this offense that could only improve here down the stretch.
For sure, and I don't know how we could have expected much more than what we've seen from this tight end group. You have two rookies, right? Dawson Knox, the most appealing rookie, a third-round pick who, you know, is coming from Ole Miss. He's a converted quarterback, was very underused in college. I mean, just very minimal opportunities to make plays. So, obviously, it's a big jump for him, not only with learning a new position, but playing that position in the NFL. You know, seventh-round pick in Tommy Sweeney. Tyler Kroft was the, I guess, the quote-unquote big-money free agent guy who, you know, broke his foot and then hurt his ankle before he could even see week one. And then a blocking specialist, Lee Smith. So I understand why there hasn't been as much consistency from those guys. And you know, I think time on task and reps will certainly help this become a more consistent component of the offense. And I think we've seen some flashes. Like you said, I think everyone recognizes the really dynamic plays that Dawson Knox has made. Well, you know, the consistency catching the ball has been an issue. I know that he didn't have any drops on Sunday against Washington. But previously, I mean, we can all think of a handful of different drops where it was an uncontested situation where Dawson Knox just couldn't haul in the football. And so him becoming more consistent, more time together, and we could see this tight end group start to be more of a factor moving forward. But I definitely understand why it's been a little shaky here to start the year.
Were you at all surprised the Bills didn't get in on Josh Gordon?
No, I would have been surprised if they did, to be completely honest with you. I can understand why many people would think it's a low-risk opportunity to add a potential playmaker. But, you know, this isn't 2013 Josh Gordon that was available, and there was work ethic concerns coming out of New England. And at the end of the day, I mean, 31 teams passed on him. Obviously, the Patriots released him, and the only waiver claim was put in by the Seattle Seahawks. And so I think that really signifies something there that he wasn't that desired of a commodity. And, you know, this is a tight locker room, right, and a very much a chemistry team and a process team and all the buzzwords that Sean McDermott drops all the time. It would have been a very out of character move for them to bring him at this point in the season, even though it's you know, easily could be viewed as a low risk move.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, thedraftnetwork.com, always gracious with his time to join us here to talk Buffalo Bills in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Joe, before we let you go, I wanted to make sure that you had the floor so that you could peddle your wares to our audience and let them know where they can hear more of your work and read more of your work.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. I do a daily podcast on the Buffalo Bills called Locked On Bills. You can find it in all your podcast providers and, of course, written content over at thedraftnetwork.com.
Yeah, we're going to be in draft season. You know what, though? This is refreshing because usually we look at draft. We did last year in the month of November. Yeah, we'll get to that at some point, Joe. Joe, appreciate
not
your
yet, right?
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah,
not
it's different. New York. When you're 2-6, you're looking forward to the draft. When you're 6-2, what do we got? Over an 80% chance of making the
81.
Postseason?
Yeah. 81.
Take that.
Joe, thanks so much for your time, man.
Of course. Anytime. Thank you.
You got it. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills Pod. TheDraftNetwork.com. Great stuff on the Buffalo Bills from Joe. And if you came in late, we'll have it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. And it's a free download, the Radio.com app. Search out the sports bar. All of our guest appearances will be listed for you right there. You can listen anytime, anywhere.
That did cross my mind this morning. Like, wow, I haven't been as up on my NFL draft prospects here in the month of November as I normally am because, well, yeah, the Bills should be picking at the bottom of the first round. There's more interesting things to talk about a 6-2 team right now. They're winning. Don't have to look ahead to the draft just yet.
We've got Takes on Tap next. It's a game we play called I'll Drink to That in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Gene, you didn't even know this, but you and I, we're both professional athletes.
Hmm?
Somebody in Sunday Night Football just paved the way, a trailblazer for the rest of us.
Okay.
Made us all realize the potential that we have inside of us. We, most of us, we are professional athletes. We're all the same. I'll explain.
So when it comes to the Bills and the stadium situation, I I've come to the conclusion that there is another franchise that is in more dire need right now. So this is good news for the Bills here, because the NFL is going to have an issue as soon as next year. Also, a follow-up to our story. We did this in Shots on Friday about the high school football coach down in Long Island that was suspended because his team was up by 35.
Yeah.
He got the start. Well, we have a follow-up to this story. Yes, participation trophies for everyone in high school sports.
Be careful there, Boomer. You don't want to upset any of the younger audience that might be listening right now, okay? Mm. Boomer?
Not taking the bait on that one, buddy.
I've reached the stage where I hate watching the Bears, and just everything about them is annoying me. I'll explain... I'll explain why even the head coach has lost his confidence. We'll get into that and more next. I'll drink to that. In the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.